Well, we'll continue here. Peace. Didn't I just talk about peace a few weeks ago? here we are. Peace is one of those things there's so much to talk about, so much to teach about, so much to experience, longing that we would want. We got inner peace of who we are ourselves. Maybe, you know, this the calm and tranquil that we all search for at some point. There's also this idea of peace and conflict, and what does it mean between, people and nations and everything else. But today I'm hoping that, I'm going to risk a little bit here, I'm hoping that wherever you're at, that you might experience the Spirit of God speaking peace into your situation, whatever that might be, and it's through reading God's Word together, not necessarily preaching. And so what I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to read a longer passage of Scripture for us and hopefully allow God to speak peace into our situation. And the passage isn't going to talk. You're not going to hear the word peace at all. But the theme of the second Sunday of Advent, what we want to do is, and Advent is listening to the story, or listening to the words of the prophet, of the story of the people of God, the Israelites, that we would this longing that they had, that we would also enter into their story. That's part of Advent. And one of the ways that we would do that is to read a passage of Scripture that would be speaking to them at that time. And we're able to kind of say, what does it mean for us at this time, at multiple levels in our lives? So we want to enter into their story, the story of waiting, the story of longing for God to act on their behalf. So today I want to read for us Isaiah chapter 40 in its entirety, and for us to simply listen to the words of the prophet. I'm going to say a few things about Isaiah 40 first of all. Isaiah 40 marks a shift in the book of Isaiah. It's moving from judgment, the first 1 to 39 verses. As you read it and you look, there is this movement from movement about judgment, and then it moves right in chapter 40, and it talks about there's this profound comfort and words of comfort that the prophet has for the people, addressing the Israelites during their despair, the time in their exile in Babylon. It's promising God's return. It's promising God's forgiveness of their sins and a future restoration, emphasizing he would have this enduring power versus the human frailty that we have, that the Israelites people have, and calling them to prepare the way of the Lord in their hearts and in the way that they would organize themselves. And so chapters 31 to 39 focuses us on Isaiah's, some people would call it a contemporary period or the Assyrian threat. But chapter 40 then jumps to the Babylon exile. There's lots to say about that, about how that was handled and what does it look like. Some people will say Isaiah would have written 1 to 39, and there's lots of scholars that will say later there were his disciples that would have written 40 to the rest of the chapter. Everyone's like, ooh, what? Google it, check it out yourselves. And some scholars will say that he had this first part of talking about the Assyrian threat, and then there was a prophetic writing that he had that's going to happen years later down the line about the Babylonian exile. So all that being said is there's a sharp change in what happens in Isaiah. What happens here is the exiles here felt that God had forgotten them, felt that God was powerless to work in their lives, They were questioning their relationship, their covenant that they had with God, that maybe this covenant that they had with God was broken. Anyone ever feel that way? Whether that's maybe the covenant's broken because of the things that we've done, or maybe because of the situation that's happened in our own lives. We're like, God, are you really there? What's happening here? What is that about? Are you holding up to your end of the bargain? What does this mean in our own lives? And so as I read this chapter, I want you to be thinking about some of the themes in the message. One of comfort, of hope. One of preparation for God's return. Questions of who God is and who we are, and might God actually be listening to us? Is God actually care about what is going on in our lives? And that this chapter offers hope, urging people to wait on the Lord, the one who gives strength to the weary, the one who renews the weary. And so let's listen to these verses now. And I want to encourage us, there might be, at the end, some of you might, there might be a phrase or there might be something that popped out at you that said, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, wow, that was really good for me to hear this. Or I appreciated this that was said. So you can either follow along in your Bible. It will be on screen. You could also close your eyes and listen as I read the scripture here for us. Isaiah 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain, you who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metalworker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that would not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that would not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them, and they wither. And a whirlwind of sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So, why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that was written and preserved to tell the story of your people that you've chosen, that you're in covenant relationship with. Thank you for these words that we could hear, these ancient words that are relevant for us today. I pray that these words would speak into our situation and bring peace into our bodies, into our hearts and our minds. The reminder that you care, that you're listening, that you give strength to the weary, and that we in turn would be people that would be messengers of this peace as well. Work in and through us even now as we possibly hear from one another. Pray this in your name. Amen. So peace. How might of this passage, maybe for the ancient people of Israel, help to speak peace into their life? And maybe did you catch anything that caught your attention that might have been a reminder of the God of peace in your own life, even now? How might it relate to even this understanding that God is among us, God is with us? We're longing for that. I'll leave an awkward silence for a little bit if people have a few things they might want to share. Or even just a phrase that caught you. The question for me caught me in a good way. Now, the idea of lament, we're the Bible's full of lament. You're allowed to ask these questions. So, but this idea that God is asking us, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, or the prophet saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. That question is, in a sense, answering itself as well, right? The question is answering, saying, God knows. The prophet is giving us expansive vision of a God who holds the nations as like a drop in the bucket, and yet he cares about what is happening. That to me is just an aha moment, the reminder that, yes, God is so vast and holy and seemingly far away. But the Christmas story is the reminder that God actually comes as the one who is just a breath, comes as the one who is just a flower in the field that he's speaking about. What a miracle. And what a beautiful picture of a God who moves towards us in the midst of all that we are experiencing. Yes, Sharon.
I don't think I've ever noticed before to the extent of every, the different aspects of God's creation, how that can come in, everything from the ruggedness of the land to the flower to the waters and the heavenly hosts. Mm-hmm. And just how he's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When the transformation happens, it feels like, a valley full of flowers, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's quite remarkable, this passage, in that comparison of who God really is and who Jesus in the extent came.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And maybe it's a lot of mixed metaphors here, but the idea of when you talked about this valley of the beautiful flowers, I've talked about those before, but Sharon and I have had an opportunity to hike, and then you're in alpine meadows where maybe 100 people will see those flowers. I don't know how many, not a lot. And yet it's just gorgeous and full of God's generosity. And yet the snow is coming, right? And so the reminder, not just our lives are fleeting, but sometimes the beauty in our life can be fleeting too. So maybe enjoy it at the moment. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That word fragile, temporary. And then the questions. Like, do you not know? Have you not heard? And then God talks about, he gives strength to the weary increase. So the promise is to the people that he's just called grass, flowers, fleeting. So there's this beautiful picture of the frailty of who we are. But then, in a sense, I talk about the holiness of God, that God will come in and be with us to give us and sustain us the breath that we actually have. Beautiful. And if we can recognize that, that alone, I think, will help give us peace. I'll be a bit vulnerable with you. This last week, I texted you. I was in Ralph's, it's a grocery store near us, and with my heart attack the last little while, you get to thinking about a lot of things, and maybe too much at certain times. I'm becoming quite the reflective person. Sometimes I'm like, do I really need to be this reflective? where I was just, it stopped me. I had all these people who were around me. So there's people, and obviously that I didn't know, and I just was overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, my eyes welled up, and I just started crying in the middle of a grocery store. I'm like, well, I'll just stay here right now and just pay attention to my body. So I saw a couple of people going like, see, okay, right? And I just took a couple deep breaths. And then I went, oh, I'm not going to just, and now I'm telling you, but then I was like, I texted Sharon, said, don't have anything, just letting you know this happened. And so it was interesting where just even letting Sharon know and then letting another friend know this. And then this week, someone without knowing sent me just a beautiful couple texts without knowing and sent me a song that totally spoke into my situation at the time. The song, we're going to listen to it during the communion today. And it was like, it was me then recognizing I'm so frail, and yet there are, and yet the Spirit of God is still within me, giving me strength. And through the people of God, friends of God, that are then comforting me at that time. It's a wild mix of frailty and beauty, and that is what kind of gave me peace. It didn't necessarily take away the tension that I feel, because I'm still, although I'm having a specialist this week, find out what's going on. We still don't know why, and that's kind of the tension that I'm living in. And yet it gave me peace. So this tension of frailty and yet beauty of people and the divine wanting to help you in that situation. That is, for me, what gave me peace. So, sorry, I didn't think I was going to share that today. It wasn't in my notes. But that's my hope for all of us in different ways. And young people, yeah, you get older and you just become more introspective, I think, I hope. and hopefully then you can, yeah. So I'm not sure where you are all at. I appreciate Sharon, Ritsma, and Sue. Thank you for your words. Anyone else want to share before we will move into communion in a few minutes? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Denise. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Oh, what a beautiful picture. If I can repeat it, if I get it right. The arm says, you come mighty in power. And then it says, and you hold those close. What does the arm do? Oh, Diane, come on. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. The mighty power of God's arm, yeah. 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 Oh. What does the arm do? What does the mighty, powerful arm do? Holds us close. And that is peace. Oh, wonderful. Diane and I didn't even know that we're both going to be sharing about Isaiah 40 today. Oh, wow. Thank you, Diane. Yeah. Let's just leave it there. Beautiful.